And God is good. And I'll tell you, the fire of God burns in my heart, and I'm glad for it. And hallelujah for Jesus. I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 tonight. Now, for those of you that keep notes, and there are people in this church who keep notes better than the notes that I've got, and they'll say, you preached this last year in March. Well, I read from this passage, and I went back and hunted up my notes from last year, and I ain't bragging, it was pretty good. And I preached on the model church, the kind of church that we all want to be a part of, and I read some of these verses. But I want to look at it tonight from a different light. And our theme for this year is what? Be one in 21. Be one in 21. Be what? Well, let's be what God would have us to be. Let's be a voice. Let's be a light. Let's be a witness. Let's be a blessing. Let's be faithful. Let's be steadfast. Let's be unmovable. Let's be Christians. Let's be peacemakers. Let's be a friend. Let's be an example. The Bible tonight is filled with what we ought to be. And so let's be one and 21. When I remember in the 70s, my dad had this phrase one time. He printed it on all of his tracks and his material. And I didn't understand it then, but I understand it tonight. And he said his theme wanted to be a going church for a coming Lord. A going church for a coming Lord. And I believe tonight the church is essential. We've been trying to decide in America whether church was essential or not. But I'll tell you this, it's more essential than the liquor store. It's more essential than the abortion clinic. By the way, just because one backslidden preacher from Georgia believes abortion's okay, I don't believe all of us believe that. And the abortion clinic, it's more essential than the massage parlors. It's more essential than the cares and the things of this world. I need the church, and you need the church. And this world needs a going church for a coming Lord. And I want to say tonight, may Harvest Baptist Tabernacle be one in 21. May we be the church that God would have us to be. May we be that local assembly, a light that is set up on a hill, a city that cannot be hid. That will be a voice of reason in an insane world. A light in the midst of a dark world. What the Bible called the true church, the pillar and ground of truth. I don't believe tonight the pulpit is a place for error. It is a place for truth. I don't believe tonight the church is a place for entertainment. It is a place for worship. And I believe tonight that the world has never, America has never needed the church, the true church, like it needs it tonight. So let's be one in 21. And there are four phrases that I want to build the message around tonight. That may God help our church be one in 21 for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Begin reading with me tonight in the text in verse number 5. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5, for our gospel came on unto you in word only. And I want you to know this tonight, your preacher believes this, but also in the power and in the Holy Ghost. We came more with just in word. We came more with fancy talk, but we came in power. And in the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something tonight? And I'm going to get with it in a minute, but I got to scratch this itch. You know what separates a real church from the normal religious organizations in society? The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Spirit of God. If you take the Holy Ghost and the fire of the Spirit of God away from us, we're nothing more than another powerless, religious, man-made organization. But I'm glad tonight for power. I'm glad tonight for the power of the Holy Ghost. And I don't even get nervous talking like that. It came not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy and of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak of anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Boy, here's my text tonight. And to wait. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I believe he tells us tonight that we are a going church for a coming Lord. And tonight, let's be one in 21. For the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Four phrases out of the text tonight we're going to build our thoughts around. You know what makes the church a real church that's needed in society? Number one, write this down tonight. A turning away. A turning away. By that, write down the word, a good dose of old time salvation. He said in verse number 9, when the word of God was preached to you folks in Thessalonica, you turn to God from your idols. In other words, that was a day and a time and a place in their life when they said no to the devil and yes to God. These folks had a life-changing, born-again, eternal, revolutionized experience through the power of the Word of God. Let me say this tonight. We do offer salvation to whosoever will, but we only offer church membership to those who have been born again by the Spirit of the living God, man. Brother, that's why we preach. That's why our Baptist forefathers were burned at the stake and fed to the lions, because they believed in a personal experience of the grace of God, that we get saved and we get regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we get washed in the blood of the Lamb, and we're born again, and we know Christ, and we have personal faith in Christ. I'm glad the church is great, because it's made up of people that have met a great God and believed a great gospel, and they've experienced so great salvation. Brother, you said, what do I got to do to join the church? Well, number one, get saved. Born again. And can I scratch an itch if you'll let me? I worry about these people who say they go to church. They carry a Bible, and they say they have a pastor, and them nor their pastor can give you a clear presentation of the gospel. And you ask them this question. Don't ask them, are they religious? Don't ask them, are they a Christian? Lord, don't ask them if they go to church. Ask them this one. Let me ask you something. If you died right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? Can I say in Clayton County, Georgia, you'll be surprised at the answers you'll get. If you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? And this is the answer I've got. Well, Lord, have mercy. I sure hope so. Oh, Lord, I sure do want to. My daddy's a preacher. My mama's a deacon. And my mama leads the choir. And I've been going to that church my whole life. And our pastor's a good old fella. And he teaches us how to have money. And he teaches us how to vote. And he teaches us how to be successful in life. Does he open the Word of God? Does he preach the blood? Does he preach the cross? Does he preach you must be born again? You can join a lot of things and be a part of it, but you can't join the body of Christ. You can't join the bride of Christ. You can't join the building of God. You must be birthed in, saved in, regenerated in, saved by the grace of God. Boy, he said to that church of Thessalonica, you turn to God. And I love what he said, from idols. By the way, that's what true repentance is. It is not just a change of mind, but it's a change of action. It is literally turning from to, turning from to. Now, if all you do is turn from, you're nothing more than a Pharisee. I mean, the Amish, bless their heart, have turned from. They've turned from rubber tires. They've turned from indoor bathrooms. They have turned from electricity in their house. Now, if you're a liberal Amish, you got it in your barn, but not in your house. If you're Southern Baptist Amish, you'll have a rubber tire, but a black bumper. But the Muslims don't even believe in abortion and homosexuality. A lot of people have turned from things. And if your salvation is nothing more than turning from, you're nothing more than a Pharisee. But I didn't more than turn from. I turned to. I didn't more than turn my back on the hog pen. I went to the Father's house. I didn't more than turn my back on Moab. I went to Bethlehem, Judea. I didn't more than turn my back on Sodom and Gomorrah. I fellowship with God in the plains of Mamre. He said, this church, the reason why it's doing something for God, there's been a turning away and a turning to. Aren't you glad tonight that was a place in your life and mine when we said no to the world and no to the devil and no to hell and yes to Jesus and yes to God? I'm glad I have been saved. A change has taken place. And praise God, there's been a turning away. Now let me hammer that on this side of the coin. I know a lot of people that's bragged about what they've turned to, but they ain't never been a turning away. They smoke the same cigarettes. They drink the same slop. They go to the same worldly places. They live the same way. There's never been a change in their life. Ain't we having fun on a Sunday night at the tabernacle? And they claim to have religion. And they claim to have an experience. But can I remind you tonight? Old time, Holy Ghost, Bible, blood-bought salvation will change your life. It will change your life. It will change your world. It is a salvation that makes a difference in time and eternity. And I want to tell you, my desire for 2021, if we got any members of Harvest Baptist Tabernacle, you're religious but lost. You never had a personal experience of the grace of God in your life. Junk your pride. Junk your religion. Meet Jesus. Come to the cross and know the joy that Christ's salvation brings. Hallelujah for old time salvation. Praise God. And it's real tonight. And so there is a turning away. Number two, I want you to go back, if you will, in verse number 6. What makes us a great church? That was a pressing on. Notice what he said in verse number 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of God. And say this line out loud with me, church. In much affliction. Oh, not only when you got in, it was not only wonderful and good, but you did it in the midst of much affliction. But aren't you glad the church at Thessalonica didn't let that much affliction hinder them in their race for God? He could write about a work of faith and a labor of love and a hope of patience, because as they turned away, there was a pressing on. You see, in that day in the Greek city of Thessalonica, if you claim the name of Jesus, brother, you put a target on your back and you put your life on the line. I want you to study sometime real American history. Not that which has been tainted by an anti-God educational system, but study real, authentic American history. And study those men that signed the Declaration of Independence. You know what they were doing when they signed the Declaration of Independence? They were signing their own death warrant. They were signing their families and their farms and their plantations and everything that was dear to them away. And they were saying, we'd rather die than go along with what England is putting us through. And we're making our stand today, even though we may have to pay the price with our blood and the blood of our families. There's some things worth fighting for. And through that much affliction, you've got the land of the free and the home of the brave. There is a nation, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Because that was a generation that rolled up their sleeve and said, in spite of the affliction, there's a goal in mind, and we're going to press on, and we're going to see what God is able to do. Well, I want to say this tonight in the spiritual realm. I have never known a church that touched their city and touched the world and have the anointing of God upon it that didn't go through great affliction. I heard a man say this one time, what kind of church would you want to be a part of? And he said, I want to be a member of the church the devil fights. Well, I said, why do you want to be a member of the church the devil fights? He said, because I figured the devil wasn't fighting us, we'd be on his side. This young boy came to Mace Jackson and said, Brother Mace, I just don't understand it. Ever since I got saved, started living for God, all hell's broke loose in my life. More, the devil's fought me every inch of the way. Brother Mace said, whoo, hallelujah. He said, what are you hallelujahing about? He said, son, did the devil bother you before you got right with God? Did all hell break loose in your life before you were trying to honor God? Can I say this tonight? One of the greatest evidences you're in the will of God and you're doing what God's wanting you to do, you're fighting hell by the acre. And I want to serve notice, and I'll pay for this somewhere tomorrow, but I want to serve notice on the devil tonight. He's doing everything he can to silence the church, destroy our influence, take our nation down the tubes, take our religious liberties, but in spite of it all, in the midst of great affliction, the work of God will go on. The work of God will flourish, because Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Can I remind you tonight, if you're a born again child of God, whoop, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So press on. Press on. Press on. Brother, if we can serve God in the good times, let's serve him in the difficult times. This past year. And it's already, in fact, the matter, I'll be honest with you, it's already started last week. My phone continually rings. Preacher, do you know of anybody interested in pastoring a church? Our pastors left. Our pastors give up in the midst of this pandemic. He can't see how to go. I got a call, I believe it was Wednesday. Joe, as we were coming back from Tennessee, and we got a, that was Thursday. I don't know what day it was, but it was one of them days. I was there because he's with me. This man said, Dr. Arthur, you know me, and I'm so-and-so from such-and-such place. And I said, I remember you, my brother. He said, I'm the deacon there in the church. I said, what can I do for you? He said, we don't have a pastor. We don't have but 11 people. Let me just say, a little church like that, they don't have 7 resumes in the mailbox. They're not having to go through a long list of prospective candidates. Bob McElhannon told me, he said, I've been on one pulpit committee, two pulpit committees, my first and my last. And boy, my phone's ringing off the hook. Oh, preachers have give up. God's singers have give up. God's people weary and well-doing. I understand these are difficult days, and I've had to get with God a few times and get an attitude adjustment myself. But you got to realize there's a generation that's gone before us. They served God in great affliction. They were faithful to God in great affliction. And the God, Lord have mercy, I'm about to encourage myself. And the God that didn't fail them is the God that will not fail us. And the God that brought them through is the same God that'll bring us through. Praise God. Press on, press on, press on, press on. We got everything to live for God for. There's a turning away. There is a pressing on. Number two, look in verse 6 and 7 and 8. I love this. He said in verse number 7, he said, you were examples to all the believers. And I love this in verse number 8. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like missions to me. That sounds like, you Baptists, hold on now. That sounds like kingdom vision to me. Boy, I used that one time in a board meeting in one of the organizations. In fact, I'm on so many boards, I'm bored to death. But I used that term, and one of the guys said, oh my God. I said, well, that's who I'm talking about. He said, oh my, you have a charismatic flair. I said, you can't even spell either one of those words. I said, what's your problem? He said, oh my God, you sound like a holiness. I said, well, the Bible said without holiness, no man shall see God. He said, you don't understand. We Baptists ain't used to talking like that. I said, if you go out me around here, we're going to talk like that. He said, what do you mean about kingdom vision? We're to build the church. I said, I know that. But what I mean by kingdom vision is this. Looking beyond that pew you're sitting in and look beyond the bank account that's got our church's name on it and see a nation and see a world that's lost and undone without God. And from us, let's reach the world with the gospel. Because that was a turning away and that was a pressing on. But I love number three. That was a reaching out. That was a reaching out. I want to say this tonight. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful that for 36 years, God has allowed me to pastor a church that can see beyond the bridge of their nose. For some of us, that's a long way. If you didn't get it, let me do it like this. I'm glad for 36 years, God's given me the privilege to pastor a church that can see beyond their belly button. Well, glory. We can see beyond. Well, what we going to get out of it? Joy. Untold blessings. I remember when we moved over in 06, I got a call from Joe T. Lane. Joe T. Lane Realtor. Joe T. Lane's now in heaven. Joe T. Lane called me. He said, preacher, what real estate school did you go to? I said, I've never been. Who'd you train under? I said, Daddy. He said, what kind of rich people in your life? I said, I knew no rich people. Everybody I knew was broke. How many remember growing up poor and it didn't bother you because everybody around you was in the same place? He said, have you been listening to Dave Ramsey? I said, I've heard that name, but technically at that time, I knew he was ball-gated, but I mean, I didn't know. I had a great love for him, but I didn't know. He said, man, how did you broker a deal like that? I said, what do you mean? How do I broker a deal? He said, man, I knew I broke y'all world without that church. I lined out places for you to buy and told you to go here and told you to go there. And you kept saying you couldn't get a hold of $3 or $4 million. I said, I couldn't then and I can't now. He said, well, I've heard y'all going to go over there to Walt Stevens Road, and by the time everything's done, you're going to get about $5 million worth of stuff for $450,000 in about 6 or 7 years. You'll probably pay that off. How did you broker that deal? Dear God, son, quit preaching and come to work for me. I said, sir, if I came to work for you, I'd be broke, you'd be broke, and your family would be in the food line. I didn't say food line. I said food line. He said, how in the world did you broker that kind of deal? I said, brother, I didn't broker that. The trustees didn't broker that. The deacons didn't broker that, but we made a commitment many years ago that we wouldn't live to ourselves and we would not die to ourselves. We would not be the Dead Sea. Everything pours in and nothing pours out. We were not going to be a resource or a reservoir. We were going to be channels of blessing, and we were going to support missions, and we were going to give to missions, and we were going to spread the gospel to the four corners of the earth to the best of my abilities. I said, sir, I want to tell you who brokered that deal. The sovereign God of heaven said, whoop, give and it shall be given unto you in good measure, pressed down, running over, shaken together. I just want to tell you tonight, you can't outgive God. Hallelujah. Reaching out. Had a couple join our church one time, and I would never embarrass them, but they told me this. They said the church we were members of was called Missionary Baptist. And the 10 years we were there, we never met a missionary. I don't understand that. Boy, I believe God puts his kiss of divine sanction on a church that will reach out. Our church, to God be the glory, has never balked and backed up and bowed up at giving the gospel, making sure we did our part. There's a preacher in right outside of Knoxville, Tennessee, named Dr. Clarence Sexton. He's preached here before. And I've never heard anybody with this philosophy in life. And no wonder he's had the blessing of God upon him. He said, when I got saved and gave my life to Christ, he said, I told the Lord, listen to this, he said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. He said, I'll give whatever you want me to give. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll go wherever you want me to go. And he said, Lord, I promise you, the more revision you give me, the more responsibility I will assume. And the more responsibility I assume, the more I'll see you meet needs in my life, in my ministry, and in my family. And he made the statement, he said, God will use you on the level of the responsibility that you're willing to accept. He said, I just feel like it's my personal responsibility, not just as a pastor and a preacher, but as a Christian, to see that I do everything I can, that every man, woman, boy, and girl everywhere hear the gospel and have an opportunity to be saved. And let's bring it on home. I wonder how many in this room tonight, you're glad one day somebody reached you with the gospel and you heard the gospel and God spoke to your heart and you're saved tonight. Hey, let's reach out. Let's reach out. The world needs us tonight. Our nation needs us tonight. Let's win the lost at any cost and keep sounding out the gospel. Oh, may this little church sitting on top of this little hill reach the world with the power of the gospel. It's always been the desire, and it's one of my slogans, may the sun never set on the ministry. The other night I was looking at a globe, and I was envisioning in my mind the missions, that not only that we support, but all the projects that we're personally involved in. Boy, as I was spinning that globe, I said, oh Lord, while we're over here sleeping at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, some people do sleep around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Some people walk around all night long. But, oh, I said, oh, God, while we're in our bed sleeping, maybe seem like we're not doing nothing. May our church be giving. May our church be praying. May our church be clipping coupons for some missionary somewhere that is sounding out the word of the Lord. And I just want to tell you this, brother. You put God's business first. You put God's business first. God will meet every need, you God. I believe that. I know I believe that. God will meet every need you have if we'll reach out to a lost and a dying world. So there's a turning away. There is a pressing on. There is a reaching out. But then number four, and I love this, we look in verse 10. Whoop! There's a looking up. There is a looking up. Paul said, because you turned away and you got saved, because you're pressing on in much affliction, and because you're reaching out to the world with the gospel, he said, we're looking up. What are you looking up for, Paul? And I love verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us. You ready now? From wrath to come. What are we doing, Brother Joe? We're looking up. We're waiting. We're anticipating the second coming of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, do you really believe in all of that hocus pocus? It's not hocus pocus. It's a blessed hope, which is the anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure. You know, I make it understand if you started looking around in the 70s and 80s and 90s and through the early 2000s. But I don't understand how any Baptist, saved person, preacher, deacon, whoever, can look around at this world today and not have that anticipation in the depths of their soul. Somebody's coming! Brother Ralph Sexton, one of my dear friends, has been to the Holy Land 62 times. I said, Ralph, you're a brave man to let them Arabs shoot at you for 62 times. One time, by gunpoint, they made him get off the bus and unload the bus while they go through all their stuff, making sure they wasn't terrorists, and made him do it at gunpoint. You said, what would a Jew have done? I said, Julie, you do that. I'm going to pray. But Ralph said the last time he was in the Holy Land, he's standing in line going to the temple. Now, right now, the Arabs has got it. But it ain't going to be long to King Jesus going to take it back. Tonight it's controlled by Muslims, but it won't be long to King Jesus. I wish you could go there sometime and walk on that little acre of ground. The whole world's in an uproar over 1 acre of ground. All that you'll notice in Revelation from here out that will unfold. All them battles. You know what it's over? 1 little acre of ground. And it's not the ground, but it's the King and the God Almighty who owns the ground. And he said he was standing in line. And he overheard a conversation between two Jewish men. And said one man looked at the other and said, my skins are crawling. I got an itching down in my bones. Messiah is coming. Messiah is coming. He should have heard one of them say, we've ordered the supplies. We're stockpiling the equipment to build the temple. They looked at him and said, Messiah coming. And only in Ralph Sexton style, he said, which time you talking about? They said, Messiah coming. He said, I know, but which coming are you talking about? He said, he's already been here. Whoop! Glory. He's already been here one time. He should have crossed the Kidron Valley on the other side of the Garden of Gethsemane, that place called the Skull. He went there and died on that cross. And at that wine press at the foot of that hill, he walked out of that tomb, and that sign, it's not just a slogan. He's not here. He's risen. And he's coming back again to put his foot on the mountain. You're right. Messiah is coming. We've not been stranded on the shores of time. We've not been forgotten about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're looking up. We're looking up. We're looking up. We're waiting for Jesus to come. And praise God, it's the hope of the soul, hope of the believer, that Jesus is coming. I remember growing up in the 70s, Bill Gaither had just written, "The King is coming. The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the street. The builder's tools are silent. There's no time to harvest wheat. Housewives cease the labor. The courtroom, no debate. The King is coming." I remember every car had a bumper sticker on it in North Carolina. Jesus is coming soon. The Inspirations had Storm the Singing in Atlanta. Jesus is coming soon. Boy, everybody talked about the King is coming. Jesus is coming. Boy, them preachers in the 70s, dear Lord, if they were alive tonight, my soul, they'd be in high cotton. And then here come the 80s. Here come the 90s. Here come the deep thinkers. Here came the Calvinists throwing water on everybody. Here came the dispensationalists. Here came this one. Here came that one. And all of a sudden, God's people just said, well, I guess it's not going to happen. But I never quit looking. I never quit anticipating. Because I've not had my eyes on the signs. I've had my eyes on the sky. Signs will come and go. But the words of our Savior will stand for eternity. If I go, I will come again. And if he don't come today, he'll come tomorrow and the next day. Just let me tell you something. Hold on, brother. Jesus is coming and we're looking up. Because there was a turning away. That was a pressing on. That was a reaching out. There's a looking up. But one day, praise God, there's going to be a moving on. And Jesus is coming again. The King is still coming. The Redeemer is still coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. We're waiting for the arrival. And I love the last part. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, he, Jesus, hath delivered us, the saints, from wrath to come. You say, Brother Joe, what part of the tribulation do you think we're going to go through? None of it. What we're going to do at the great white throne? I ain't going to be there. My sins were dealt with at Calvary. Ooh! Preacher, what part of hell do you think you're going to get through? I've already been through that down here. Oh, I'm not going to feel a flame. I'm not going to feel a flame. Man, I got to preach them all back in this camp meeting, and they got to helping me like y'all do sometime, and I got plumb beside of myself, and I said, whoo! I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. And an old man come up and said, well, why would you want to? I said, I don't want to. But I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to stand without an answer at the great white throne judgment. Brother, I've been to the cross. I've been to Calvary. My sins are forgiven. And the only fire I'll ever feel is the fire of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I've been saved from wrath to come. You want an Old Testament picture? Here it is. I'm not a Noah. I'm an Enoch. I'm not a Noah. I'm an Enoch. What happened? Enoch walked with God. And he pleased God. Whoop. And I hope one day when I leave this world, I'll leave behind a testimony that I please God. And the Bible said he was not found, for God took him. I love what Brother Mays used to say. Americans have astronauts, Russians have cosmonauts, but Enoch was not. John Phillips said, surrounding gloom, saving grace and sudden glory. Brother Joe says, praise God, walking with God, walking in God, walking for God, whoop, and walking up to God. Oh, I'm not a Noah, I'm an Enoch, I'm a getting out before the flood comes. Israel is a Noah. They'll be brought into the ark of safety and kept safe during the tribulation. And on the other side of the trumpets, and on the other side of the seals, and on the other side of the bowls, hey, they're going to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, that is set upon the hill. We're getting out before. They're going to be safe through. But on the other side, Jew and Gentile, amen, will gather in the New Jerusalem, where the doors is open for to come in and to come out. Somebody hit me right there. And we'll celebrate the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God, that's where I'm headed. And I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to get the mark of the beast on my forehead. Amen. Praise God, we'll sing and shout and dance about. Well, Brother Joe, it sounds like you're trying to escape reality. Really? One of these days, brother, I'm going to tell you something. These boys, these men have been taking us through the revelation. Son, it's about to get on. You don't want to be here all that. It's rough. You wait till Joseph takes you to the battle of Armageddon and the blood runs to the bridle of the horse. It's about to get on. But I'm glad I got a way out of this world. See over here in this door, that door and that door and that door. You see them red signs? What's it say? Exit. God forbid, but while we're in this room tonight, if something was to happen, the sign is pointing the way out. I'll never forget when Larry Brown set up that big 1,000-seat tent. Me and Ed Maccabee and CT and a bunch of us was preaching over there, and he set that big tent up, and one of the inspectors come from the county and said, Reverend Brown, do you have an exit in case of emergencies? He said, well, there ain't no doors in here. He said, well, Reverend Brown, what are you going to do if a fire breaks out? He said, I'm going to say, y'all run! He said, you're not going to put them little battery-operated signs that this is the way out. He said, sir, this whole place is open. They can get out any way they want to. Tonight, the exit signs are there. Well, aren't you glad over Calvary there's an exit sign? Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy it's complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. And I'm glad we've turned away. I'm glad we're pressing on. I'm glad we're reaching out. But I'm glad we're looking up. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder. Hold your hand up now, ready? When the roll is called up yonder, I'll not be here. I'll not be there. Praise God, I'll be there. Hallelujah. Turning away. Pressing on. Reaching out. Looking up. Let's be one in 21. Father, we love you.